There he is. Joey, can you hear us?
Got you loud and clear.
Awesome. Well, why don't you just go ahead and take us through your race?
obviously a exciting race. A lot of different things happening throughout it. I think the biggest thing was just being methodical throughout the race. For us, we had a good Shell Penzo Mustang, one that was probably the best at on the long run. The last 15, 20 laps of a run is where we were really shining. So I was just trying to make sure I had some tires on it for that moment. And the thought in my mind, at least, was get two cars per run. If I can get a couple more, I'll be in position to win this race. And, was able to pounce at the right times and get by Soares, which is a lot of fun racing him. We're friends. So it's pretty cool to see. And then, being able to maintain the lead and race Denny there at the end was nuts. And they watered down the racetrack. That's the thing with this dirt racing, man. You just don't know what you're going to have next, and you're forced to figure something out quickly. So TJ, my spotter, did a good job at telling me where Denny was, and I tried moving up, but it takes such a different driving style to make that work. And that's, on the bottom, you can keep it straight and kind of, go around the, kind of like asphalt on the bottom. But up top, you got to have the car pitched out and running around. So, you definitely two different styles of racing. So, and of driving in the car. And so, you're trying to hold off Denny, you're trying to save your tires for the long run. And that was a pretty tough challenge for a second. And then, working the lap cars at the end was also a challenge as well. And, luckily we were able to get through, those cars and fight them off on that final restart. Didn't want to see that last caution, but, to be, the first team to be able to win on dirt in the Cup Series, in 50 years or so, that's something that I'm very proud of. Very proud of this team, because this weekend, coming into the week, you just don't know, right? I said that's the phrase of the week. I don't know, coming into this, and you didn't know what you had to work on in your car. You didn't know how the race was going to play out. You don't know how the track's going to change, and it's just watching and studying and getting in a dirt car for a few races and in Volusia and running a heat race here a week ago. So all that kind of helped out and played out for us.
Awesome. Well, we are also joined now by our race-winning crew chief, Paul Wolf. And just a reminder, if you have a question for either Joey or Paul, just be sure to address who your question is for before asking it. We will kick it off with Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Sam. I was not prepared for that. For Joey, your dirt modified experience that you've had between Volusia and here, how big of a factor, if it was a big factor at all, did the lessons that you learned play into what you were able to do late in the race today? Because obviously the track conditions today are really nothing like anything else you had experienced before.
It's dry and slick, and that actually was a lot like Volusia in its own way, but obviously the banking here and the car itself is very different. I feel like the dirt racing probably helped me more on trying to understand how to run the top lane, with trying to keep pitch in the car. Those things like that are kind of gave me advantage, but just maybe helped me catch up to everybody else that runs dirt regularly. So, I feel like, there was some advantages the dirt guys have for sure out there, but it's such a different car than a late model or a modified or a sprint car or whatever you may talk about. It's very different. So I feel like the Cup guys that typically drive these cars as well kind of had, kind of a way of mixing those two to be able to be successful. So, I think more than anything today really, shows that the talent in this Cup level, right? A race car driver is a race car driver, and they're going to figure it out. You give them time and give them a few laps, they're going to figure out how to make a race car go fast. And, the amount of good racing that we saw today, throughout the field, in very challenging conditions, a very slick track and very dusty, can't even see where you're going. And you saw guys that never even raced on dirt be pretty good. So it goes to show that the talent in this NASCAR Cup level is something else.
You referenced visibility, and that was where I was going with the next question. I know it's easy to be happy about how things ended when you won, but if you put the hat on of looking towards next year and knowing that we're doing this again, do you have thoughts on what you'd like to see be done differently for 2022 to make it a better product?
Yeah, I'm not a dirt expert by no means. This is my fourth race, so but I do think that racing at night, I think, is the key to this. I think that brings some of the moisture up from the dirt. So I think that would help. Plus, you don't have the sun glaring through the dust. That's what made it really hard through turns one and two. You couldn't see. And you're talking to someone that ran into, third or fourth place. So I didn't really get the real worst of it. I think, I look at what NASCAR did in the track to be able to prepare for this event. They did a great job. Obviously, having a truck race before this is not easy to do, to turn the track back around for us to go out there and run another 250 laps. I think Harvick said this is the longest dirt race in mankind. I think it was. So, it's just incredible to see that they're able to get the track decent, and then the amount of water they laid down the last stage really kept the dust down, but really changed what we had to do, from behind the wheel and car adjustments as well.
We have also been joined by Travis Geisler, the competition director at Team Penske. Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, this is for Joey. When you're leading in overtime and you're going to a single file restart that you haven't done, and I don't know how long, are you like, what do I do? What's my strategy?
Yeah, it brings you back to like Legends Car days for me. I kind of feel like the leader is a sitting duck when they did that, because you kind of trying to time runs and things like that. So, as the leader, you're in the mirror watching the car behind you, trying to time it to where he doesn't have a run on you and can make the pass into turn one. So, the restarts it's very different than what we're used to. So I would say it's probably easier to be double file restart if you're the leader. As crazy as that sounds, I think you probably had a bigger advantage if you were, choosing the outside and you had, a row behind you to kind of protect you from someone making a move. So I wasn't excited when I saw that caution come out, but, I was able to time to start decently and get through one and two to be able to get some distance. And that was key because I was fully prepared to get the bumper. I figured that was going to come at some point. You got a green, white checker at Bristol. I don't care if it's dirt, concrete, you name it. There's probably going to be contact, but was able to have a good enough start to prevent that.
Did you think you were going to get the bumper because it was Hamlin and, all of us watching are like, oh, Logano and Hamlin again. Do you have any of that sense or does any of the past come through your mind?
I don't care who's behind me. I would just assume that's going to happen. You at least prepare yourself for it one way or another. So, that was it.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Dustin Long.
Thank you. Joey, how much, because of as the rules changed, as the track changed, I don't know if confusion was the word, but how challenging was today with how everything changed? There wasn't always that constant, and especially in terms of, also then seeing the restart change in the middle of the race.
Yeah, you just had to be ready to adapt. And that's what this weekend was about. Paul and I talked about it and Travis and all of Team Penske was just kind of, where do we want to start? And, because there's, like I said, there's unknowns. And, you try to tune that in the best you can in practice and you learn and you watch other cars. You watch the way the track changes and you watch a truck race earlier today. And, you try to just take all the information you possibly can to make the best decisions you can possibly as a team. And, I feel like just we did a good job at that. We did a good job at getting a race car put together. That was pretty quick, especially on a long haul and being able to, methodically pick your way through the field to be positioned right at the end, without pit stops and things like that. If, you can stay up towards the front without mistakes. And that was kind of my thing is keep my car in one piece and keep my tires on it. Because if you lose that track position, it's going to be hard to get it back.
Also a question for Travis. Travis, you've done some stuff with the next gen car. Obviously with this race returning next year, this will be with the next gen car. What are the challenges with the next gen car on dirt, or things that need to be looked at before next year's race?
Yeah, I would say D, all the above. You know, I mean, if this car was a challenge, it's going to be a whole another set of challenges, and certainly early in the season for the whole industry. So we'll still be kind of new to that car, which will be, make it even more challenging. It's just this one, we kind of knew so much about the history of, you know, kind of how you wreck, how things tear up, what happens throughout courses of events, you know, short tracks across the country where, you know, you get torn up and you kind of figure out, okay, we need to reinforce this, do that. You know, that body being totally different, all the suspension being different, you know, that's can't really say independent rear suspension's been run on dirt. Maybe I can remember John Mason trying it probably when I was about 5 or 6 and that was pretty unsuccessful. So I think we'll have our work cut out for us, but certainly had our work cut out for us this weekend as well. And, you know, I think just like Joey mentioned, you know, the drivers are so high caliber. I certainly agree with them. It was awesome to see our group just really figure it all out. But I think the same goes for the guys with the cars and people who are working on them at every company here. You know, everything ran through the race, everything made it, you know, we figured out how to do it. Nobody's really done it before. So we'll figure it out. That's part of what we do every week.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
To kind of follow up on that question, what are your thoughts about bringing this car back next year rather than doing a Bristol purpose-made car for the event? Because, you know, I'm looking at it, as much as we've heard about cost-saving measures, wouldn't that be something that, you know, would go a long way in saving teams money?
You know, I think we all just have to take a look back after this and kind of go over all the learnings from the past couple of weeks and, you know, months trying to prep through this. It's the same process that we went through to be ready to come here, was everybody getting together and talking about all the challenges. Let's work together. The teams, I think, did a great job of setting aside kind of the competitive side of it and make sure that they work with NASCAR in a way that we could actually pull this off. So I think that's something to certainly consider. You know, we need to look at that and how that would impact, you know, what we're trying to do next season with the new car. But that's things to probably consider over the next few weeks, months. And, you know, certainly there'll be a lot of this equipment around, and we can decide what we want to do with it as we go.
And Joey, can you just reflect on a 10-year winning streak? I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty sporty for a guy to win, you know, every year for a whole damn decade.
That's pretty whole damn decade. Heck yeah. yeah, it's, I guess I didn't even realize that. I guess I honestly don't take much time to look back and reflect. It's kind of always what's next. And, you know, you've heard Roger Penske say it a million times, don't trip on your press clippings, don't look in the rearview mirror. So, you know, I feel like maybe later in my career, when I'm done and sitting on the rocking chair, maybe then I'll think that stuff's cool. But right now I focus on just winning the next race, and probably more disappointed if I don't have more wins. So I guess it's a cool stat. Don't get me wrong. It's neat for sure. But I didn't even know that was a thing at this point. So, you know, just looking at the front windshield at this moment and looking to get another one in a couple weeks.
Well, Gayheart did warn Denny that you were the most aggressive guy in the business, but it still didn't do him any good. So congratulations.
Thank you. Aggressive sometimes works for me. So I usually stay that way. So the guys were joking with me. I'm going to change my name to Joe Dirt now.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. I have one for Paul and one for Joey. Paul, I think Joey mentioned it when he got out of the car. Nobody really knew how to prepare for this and what to do. So I'm curious, what did you and the engineers and everybody back at the shop, how did you prepare for a race weekend like this?
Well, there was a lot of meetings and getting together. You know, obviously we have some people within our company, you know, Jeremy and Travis and Kevin that, you know, have raced dirt in the past and have some experience. So it's really, you know, talking to those guys, being open-minded, but still just having a common sense approach, knowing that it's still the same race car we race every week, where the track's just going to have less grip. And we kind of took that approach going into it. The guys did a great job, obviously, back at the shop preparing the cars. We came here with the two short practices and executed the practices well, tried to learn as much as we could to get our car close. And then all race long, it was still a learning curve, you know, trying to understand the tires and adjustments with the track changing, how big of adjustments we needed to make. And I thought overall, obviously, we did a good job executing, learned a lot. And I think everyone will go back now and digest everything and probably come back even smarter next time around.
Joey, going back to when the decision was made to go to single file restarts, you were really surprised when TJ told you that on the radio. How much do you think, if at all, that changed the complexion of the race suddenly when it's single file now and guys don't have track position, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely changes it. And I was kind of confused on why. And I'm sure there's a great explanation, but sometimes you're in the car, you don't see it. And I haven't really watched back at things that it might've been for the dust. I think maybe to keep everyone more towards one lane, maybe to help the dust. I don't know if that's what it was for, or we were just crashing too much. And it's like, you know, when you grow up racing and you crash too much, you know, the sanctioning body comes back and says, okay, single file restart, you guys can't do this. I don't know if that's what it was either. I have no idea, but, you know, it definitely took me back in time, you know, trying to figure out, okay, how do I restart with single file restarts? Cause it's literally been since, you know, Legends car days for me back in, you know, I don't know, 99 or so, since I've done something like that. So I was trying to think of all the little short track tricks that I've learned when I was a kid, and trying to put it to work in a cup level, which is kind of funny, right? I mean, the things you learn growing up as a race car driver, a young kid, those techniques and little tricks, stick with you forever and you never know when you need them.
Our next question will come from Alan Cavano. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Joey, congratulations. Talking about being aggressive earlier, Denny was flat out asked, why not go through the 22? And he responded, well, me and the 22 race differently. I don't have that mentality, Denny Hamlin said. And I just wonder whether it's real or perceived. Do you mind having that reputation as an aggressive driver?
I feel like everybody's aggressive right now. That's honestly, when I look at what everybody's doing on the racetrack, maybe I was the first to it. And so that reputation stuck with me, but I can promise you, I watch every one of these races back and I'm not the only one being aggressive. You look at this 550 rules package, everybody's aggressive. Look at the restarts. It's insane. I promise you, I am not the most aggressive guy on the racetrack anymore. There's times I look at it and say, maybe I need to be more aggressive. So, you know, the game has changed a lot. That reputation is probably with me because, you know, probably 5-6 years ago, you know, that reputation started with me, but the competitors have changed and evolved over time to where everybody's aggressive. Nobody gives up spots. There's not much give and take out there on a racetrack anymore. We're racing. And you know what? That's what the fans buy the tickets to see, is racing. And that's what we're going to continue to do. So, you know, that might just be a reputation that stays with me, but I don't feel like it's the most truthful thing anymore these days.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question will come from Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, Joey, you mentioned earlier about being the first cup winner on dirt in 50 years. I was kind of wondering, in regards to all of your achievements that you had, can you rank this? Is that up there with like the Daytona 500 and some of your bigger wins over your career?
Anytime you win at Bristol, it's special. You know, we've been able to win the Bristol night race a couple times, and coming back to Bristol and winning a dirt race. Yeah, it's special. Obviously, it's up there. Can you compare it to the Daytona 500? I don't think you really can. Daytona, Brickyard, Southern 500, Bristol, you know, they're all big races, right? They're all kind of crown jewels that we look at. Or big Coke 600 as well, I'd put in there. You know, it's definitely a big race to win. You know, it's definitely one that you want to have on your bucket list. Winning at dirt, you know, that's something special. You know, you can say now if one on super speedways and short tracks and dirt tracks. And, you know, so that's kind of a neat thing to put on your resume, I guess. But, you know, I mean, I think of big races to win, right? And the biggest one is a Fiender Championship Four at Phoenix, right? That's the biggest race every year if you can get to that point. So this is a good step towards that direction today.
And Paul, I'm wondering about the pit crew guys. You didn't have your regular pit crew as per NASCAR rules. I wonder what the training sessions were like getting your crew guys to go over the wall, and how much fun did they have doing this today?
Well, they had a lot of fun. I know they were all looking forward to it and making jokes about it. But, yeah, I mean, I think we just have a great group of guys that can step up when we need them to. And, you know, there wasn't, you know, fortunately, we didn't have a lot of damage today. So it was pretty calm on our pit stops, getting the tires and fuel in it. And then just, you know, looking the car over for any little damage or potential issues. But fortunately, it was pretty calm and everyone did a great job.
Well, Travis, Paul, thank you both so much for joining us today, and congratulations.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jeff Magliaschetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, Samantha. Joey, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on another win. As we go into a bit of a landmark on the Cup Series schedule, you know, we've knocked off the first track that's new to everyone in Bristol Dirt, having run at the Daytona Road Course last year. So how do you feel about where your number 22 team is at this point of the year, and how great does it feel in this year of parity to get a win right now and not worry about it later?
Yeah, I was getting nervous about it, to be honest with you. You know, you start seeing, you know, drivers and teams win that you put on the maybe can win list, and some that you would really put on a list that you never thought would win, you know, and some of those guys have you know, really gotten a few this year. So, you know, we were up there in points. I think we're second in points coming into this weekend. You know, so you're up there on the points, but you still don't have that win in your back pocket. And you're like, man, a few bad races, we could miss the playoffs still, as many different winners there is. And then you look at Daniel Suarez up there today, leading laps. That went through my mind at one point. I was like, oh my gosh, is he going to win a race? And then there's another, you know, step back. So, you know, all that's very concerning for sure. You know, very cool to see our sport with the parity. I'd rather not have the parity and just see the Shell Penske Mustang up front every single lap. But, you know, I think for the fans, it definitely brings something to the table, and it's pretty exciting right now, where you just don't know who's going to be strong. And I think some of that is due to the changes, you know, with the schedule, but also, you know, a lot of that probably is due to not having practice more than anything. I do believe when you have practice, you know, the good race teams and good drivers, they know how to adjust their car to maximize the performance. And when you don't give them practice, you kind of tie their hands to, you know, trying to make it the best educated guesses at the shop. And if it's not right, it's really hard to overcome that. So nice to be able to, like I said, get one here fairly early in the year, head into Easter break. It's nice to have an extra week to celebrate and enjoy it.
And calling the truck race today, I guess we're gonna have to get Brad in there next, because you call it, you win, Ryan calls it, he wins. So were you able to take any lessons from watching the truck race onto a track you had never run before, say for the practice laps around Thursday, and apply it to the Cup event?
Maybe a little bit. You know, I really enjoyed doing the broadcasts up there with Fox. I've done quite a few of them this year, and you know, doing the iRacing stuff from Fox and doing Race Hub, and I really enjoy the TV side of our sport, and you know, trying to, you know, put my two cents in as a race car driver that just got out of the seat. Of what's going on out there on the racetrack. And I'm a race fan. I absolutely love this stuff. I mean, this is my life. I love NASCAR racing. So I love talking about it and be around it. So it's kind of a natural fit for me. Do I feel like I learn a lot up there? You know, sometimes I do. You know, I pick up on a couple things for sure today watching. You know, I found a few things, but there's also a job to do up there, you know, and if I was just up there studying the race the whole time, I really wouldn't say much, you know, I'd just be taking notes the whole time. So a couple of mental notes on some things that I saw, and you know, it's probably more helpful to actually be in the truck race, but I'd say it worked out all right.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Joey. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Daniel McFadden. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, Joey. So Bristol announced, you know, during the final stage break that they were going to be doing this again next year. If that news had been relayed to you, like in that moment when you're sitting down on pit road waiting to go back on the track, what would your reaction to that have been in that moment?
You know, it's funny. I like how they waited to see if it was going well before they announced we're doing this again. All right, this race is going good. We'll do it again. Smart play by SMI. So, you know, I think, obviously I'm excited. If they told me during the race, maybe I wouldn't have much emotion because I kind of had a bigger thing in my mind at the moment trying to win on this dirt track. But now I'm excited about it for a lot of reasons. Obviously, you know, this is a great event. Would I look at the week before and the weeks coming here, bringing the short track, you know, late models, sprint cars, modified street stocks, you know, mini stocks. I mean, they're racing everything at Bristol. And when I think of just racers, you know, short track, Saturday night racers, racing here at Bristol, I remember my first experience coming to Bristol, and I guarantee you, you know, the thousand of cars that have been here over the last few weeks and are coming, their first time walking into Bristol and driving around this racetrack is a very special moment. So it's really cool that you know, SMI and Bristol's giving you know, these drivers and teams the opportunity to race on the big track, you know, the high banks. Really cool, excited about that, and I'm excited that we're going to do it again next year. Because unfortunately this year, you look at the situation with COVID, boy, when they announced this race, I thought it was going to be a sellout. And I do think it will be a sellout once we're able to have full capacity back at these racetracks, because this is a crazy show, and being able to, you know, look at Bristol with dirt on it, you know, everyone wants to see that in person. You know, when I came up here last week to race that modified, you know, I walked up in the grandstands and looked at the racetrack. I was like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, it's just crazy to even think how this is possible. So, you know, kudos to Bristol, Marcus Smith, those guys to really come together and put on an event that's what it is. It's an event. It's a crazy, amazing event that they're able to put on, and they should be proud of themselves. This is a big risk, really big risk, that I know not many teams were behind, and you know, it worked out well. So congratulations.
Earlier, Denny said that at times the race felt like old Bristol, where you're getting knocked out of the groove and you're falling back. Did it feel like that way to you at times tonight?
Yeah, I mean, eventually the bottom was the place to be, and passing cars was hard. It was really hard to do because, you know, cars would wrap the bottom, you know, so far around the corner to try to get that straight launch off the corner to try to get forward drive. Well, when cars wrap the corner that long, how do you get underneath them, right? How do you continue the run to get underneath them? You know, and you're trying to go over the dirtles, you know, on the exit, trying to get drive, and then it's just cars are moving, and it's crazy, you know? So, yeah, it, you know what? It really shows us that you don't have to be going 200 miles an hour to put on a great race. You know, I wouldn't say we were going that fast today, and it was a lot of fun, and the drivers were having a blast, and I know the fans enjoyed it as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
We'll take our final question from Ashley McCoven. Go ahead, Ashley.
Hey, Joey, thanks for your time today and congratulations. I know this is a bit of a one-off being Bristol Dirt, but how much confidence does this give you in having that win now going into the break, but also when we turn at Martinsville, a track that you've had a lot of success at before?
Yeah, you know, Martinsville obviously is a great racetrack for us. It's a great racetrack for Paul Wolf, maybe even more so for me. So glad to be driving his car there. You know, it seems like they've been able to have some good cars there in the past. So excited about going to Martinsville. Honestly, I'm going to enjoy this though first. I feel like we never enjoy victories enough. So we'll enjoy this and, you know, have a great Easter break with our families and you know, fire away when we get back.
And with that in mind too, how would you evaluate your season so far now that we've been to a bit of each track, different track on the schedule?
You know, I look at our season, our 750 rules package is spectacular. You know, capable of winning Every time we've been out with that, whether it's been the road courses, Phoenix, been pretty good. So obviously that gets me excited about Martinsville and today, you know, kind of like a 750 package. I don't know what you'd call this one, but, we had the big motors in it at least. You know, our 550 stuff is a weakness. And we need to continue to work at that to try to understand, where we're off there. You know, I wouldn't say we're way off, but you know, we're not in contention to win yet, with those races. So, just got to keep looking at it and trying to figure out where that's at.
Thanks for your time today. And thank you, Samantha.
Thank you.
Joey, we actually have one more question for you. It's coming from the chat from Matt Weaver. When you won the night race in 2014, you called it the biggest mamma jamma. What do you call winning one, and where does winning the first Bristol dirt race rank to you?
That's funny. I don't know what the words come out of my mouth sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I should think more before I talk. I don't know what you'd call this. Obviously, it's just a it's special. You know, like I said, winning on dirt, saying that I've been able to do that, and like I said earlier, winning on every different type of racetrack is special. And you know, there's no one else actively that can say they've done that right now. You know, because this is the only dirt cup race we've had in 50 years. So, you know, that's something that, I take some pride in for sure. Knowing that I'm a versatile driver, you know, and you have to be in this level in the cup series, that's what's so attractive to me about racing in NASCAR, is that you can race different types of racetracks. You're just bumping and banging. There's different, you know, disciplines you have to be good at. And it's a real, real challenge. It's really, really hard to race at this level. So I really take pride in, you know, trying to figure that out and enjoy the work that we put into that.
All right, Joey. Well, thanks so much for your time here tonight. We will let you go ahead and get back to inspection, and congratulations on a historic win.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.